This series, God Never Said That, it was started last week by a friend of mine, Jason Kimbrough, and if you were not here, because some of you come every couple of years, I just want to tell you that he killed it last week, and I highly recommend that you go back in time and listen to that sermon. When he gets to the part of living with a clean heart, I've just never heard it put any better. This weekend, though, we're going to be talking about what God never said, and that is that sex is bad. That's right, I said it in church, sex. And I have to be careful with this topic because I used to speak on it every year, but Michelle and I ran into a couple that had only been to our church twice. In both times, so they thought we were like new love church instead of new life church. So I do know that this topic is not covered every year. In fact, the last time I spoke about this, I think it was 5 to 7 years ago. But I think the church does need to talk about it. But if you have a child that is in this room right now, and you've never covered this material with them, this would be a great time to go out into the foyer and buy them a latte. Let them have their first latte instead of the first talk on this topic. But why are we covering this topic? Because the Bible does. I've been in ministry now for 30 years, and when we first started out in ministry, the thing that was causing the most pain in people was related to finances or, you know, maybe addiction. But now, if you fast forward through the 30 years, because of pornography and the accessibility to it, and on it goes, it's the topic around sex. And there's so much misinformation about it. A lot of times we're taking the data from the world and bringing it into our view of Scripture, and the lines are extremely blurred now. And there's confusion with little conviction. And then when we do have conviction, we're often not sure. Is this of the Lord? Is this the Word? Or is this something I learned from a friend at work? And I just want to say that confusion doesn't come from God. Can I have an amen on that? But today, I'm going to teach you the Word, and it'll be really clear when I'm going through the Word. But there are going to be times where I'm going to give you my personal preference on this topic in terms of conviction and how to stay clean as a person who's in love with the Lord. So you do not have to adhere to that. I don't typically teach my code of life, but I felt like I needed to this time, and you'll understand later on. But confusion, everybody say confusion. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, or 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Now, when it comes to sex, a lot of people, they read the Word of God and they go, man, it's just outdated. It's ancient. It's antiquated. There's no way that the Lord meant that for today. If he was here now, he would reword that. Well, let me go to a big idea. If you have a product and it breaks down, it's probably a good idea to call the inventor of the product, the creator of it. Like if your Apple phone breaks down, your iPhone, you don't want to call a philosopher. You probably just need to bring it to Apple. Are y'all tracking with me? Well, sex was invented by God. What a great God. Love you, Lord. But I'm going to tell you that you're going to invite more pain and more sorrow into your life than you can imagine if you don't understand the Word on this. For example, being molested. Some of you have been molested. As a child, I never had that happen to me, but I've had friends, I've had members of the church. So I know when you think of that, there's no way it didn't distort your view of this topic. Even though you were innocent in it, someone else approached you and took advantage of you. But I just want to let you know, the Word of God was crying out to that person that this is not of the Lord. If you have a product or an idea that has gotten off track, I think it's a good idea to go to the Creator, like the God invented sex, but what are His ideas? Here's the problem. The church has gotten into a lot of myths about this. Like the church I grew up in, it was just clearly sex is bad. Sex is bad. But I was thinking about some of the other things that I've heard that were certainly not in the Word that I've heard growing up. Having much sex, and you can see this as a conviction in the world, having much sex, the world would say, that would make you an expert on this topic. Where the church that I grew up in said sex is just for procreation and should never happen for any other reason. Well, that means if your wife can't get pregnant, that you should never have sex. How many know that is not of God? Here's another one. Sex is automatically great if you wait for marriage. I heard that in the church. Is that really true? Let's look deeper into it. I've heard some people in the world say, having much sex makes you an expert, but if you wait until you get married, like if you think you're going to marry the person, then you can have sex with them as long as you love them and you know you're going to marry them someday. I've seen people, single people, say it's best to test drive for compatibility study. You have to do that. But the church has gotten this wrong more than even the world has in many ways. For example, I was studying church history, and it's hilarious how broken the church was. Between the 3rd and the 10th century, the church issued decrees that would forbid the husband to have sex with his wife on different times. Like it started out, the first one was on Thursday because that's when Jesus was arrested, so you can't have sex with your spouse on Thursday. And then they said, well, let's add Friday because that was the day that Jesus died. Then they added Sunday because that was the day that he rose from the dead out of honor, and it's also the remembrance of the saints. But then they got crazy and they started adding that you couldn't have sexual relationship in the marriage during Lent, the 40 days of Lent. You couldn't have sex during the 25 days of Advent or so. It changes every year, but the amount of days for that year. Then the church said in those centuries, between 40 days of Pentecost, you couldn't have sex during those days. And they added days where you would fast or holidays. Philip Yancey noted that there was only 44 days of legitimate time that a husband could have sex with his spouse. That's when you build a boat and go to other lands. Some of you hear that and go, man, that would be a nightmare. Some of you want that calendar. Listen, God didn't put Adam and Eve here for a 44-day plan. But I was reading that they asked a bunch of men, what days of the week do you prefer to be intimate? And they said, days of the week start with a T. Tuesday and Thursday, today and tomorrow, and Taturday and Tunday. I don't know, that's so funny to me. There was one guy, his wife never wanted to be with him. So, because she always said, I have a headache. That was like, she just went to that line. So he took her on a date, treated her real right. When they pulled into the driveway, he just handed her 2 aspirin. And she said, I don't have a headache. He said, gotcha. I remember back in the day, I used to be on staff in Baker, Louisiana, a church called Bethany. And it was Bethany Baptist Church in those days. And I remember I was going into the counseling center, and I saw a car go around the building, and I'd heard that teenagers were parking back there. And but I had to run some copies or something in this room, so when I came out, I remembered the vehicle, but then I thought, do I walk back there? Because if they're parking, there's no telling what I might see. And so I went around and peeked and saw the car about 30 feet away, and the windows were so fogged up. So I just kind of backed up to the car, and I tapped on the car, and I heard window going down, and out of the window was an elder. This man is upper 70s, and with his wife next to him. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And this guy said, he's an elder, like one of the most respected people in the whole church. And I said, hey. His nickname was Sweetie, and that's when I realized why they called him that. I said, hey, Sweetie. And for years, you know, it was hard to see him. He said, Pastor Larry said for us to go on a date Friday night. It's Friday night, and it's where I wanted to go. So every time I'd see him, I couldn't even hardly look at him. I actually was thankful when he went to heaven. Didn't have to look at him anymore. I'm just... Everyone makes mistakes. Here's what I want you to get real quick. Listen to me. Many people in this room have made huge mistakes around sex. And what I want to ask for you to do is to take the word of God that I'm about to teach you and apply it to today so you can move on. And there's nothing more refreshing than having the Lord walking with you side by side. A lot of things in your life you can fix on your own. If you lose your job, you can get another one. If you flunk out of college, you can figure out what that means. But if you get into trouble sexually, you're going to have Jesus in on it. And there's so much shame, and I get that. When I was in college, I was crazy wild. Fell in love with Michelle about 3 years after I gave my heart to the Lord. And Michelle, she has served the Lord all the days of her life. Like, she gave her heart to the Lord like 7. Never sinned. You should sin. Try it. She never, like, so when I met her, I didn't feel worthy to date her. And I was thinking, if she knew my life in college, she wouldn't want to be around me. And this just started eating at me. And then finally, one day, I said, I got to talk to her about this. Shame will try to destroy important things going on in your life. So I sat down with her, and I said, she goes, what's going on? I said, Michelle, I got to tell you something. And I said, I thought it would shock her that I wasn't a virgin. And it didn't. I said, Michelle, life, college, crazy, wild, aggressive. And she goes, well, it's too bad you won't let the Lord be a part of your life in all these areas. It's like, why don't you let the Lord forgive you? Let's move on. Come on. Don't you believe in Jesus? It's like, who are you? Listen, a lot of times we don't talk about this. Sometimes we talk about sex too much in the wrong areas. Guess what I did? You know what else happened? And then sometimes we just kick it away. I remember that guilt. So what does the word say? Because listen, the Bible says for us not to defile marriage and the convictions of God, like the marriage bed. You can do that in marriage, but you can do it before marriage. Look at this verse. I love this. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. So we know that the scripture says, whether you agree with this or not, that the scripture says that sex should only happen in the institution of a biblical marriage between a man and a woman. And in nowadays, there are just blurred lines on what that means. So let's look at the word and see if God is mad and mean and hates. Or let's look at the word and see if he's not trying to protect us because of love. Let's look at the Ten Commandments. One of them says, let's read it out loud, you shall not commit adultery. I'll take that verse off for a second. You might read that verse and see it as rules, like, you should not have committed adultery. You better not. You better. Like this. Maybe the Lord is saying, I made people. And I know that if you cross this line, before marriage, during marriage, after marriage, if you cross this line, it's going to cause more heartache and pain in your life than you can ever imagine. And I love you so much, I just want to bring this to you. And even in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Could y'all look here? We actually agree with this. How many of you here, if you are married, you want your spouse to go to work, you want your wife to go to work this week and hope that she cheats with the new guy? How many of you want your husband, when you go to sleep at night, to look at pornography when you're not even there? How many of you want your teenage girl to go and sleep with different boys at school? Okay, where do these ideas come from? How do you know what is right and wrong? Do you keep redefining them? Then why do I have trouble understanding the word where it's not my personal preference? Why do we have pushback? Any time in your life when you invite the Lord in, and this is what I do in my life, and it's like, okay, I like this idea. I read it in the Word. I want to bring this in. Oh, I like that. I'm going to bring this in. That's a little bit too much. I'm not ready for that now. I'm going to push the Lord out. Anytime you push the Lord out, there's going to be problems. They took prayer out of schools years ago. How are the school systems doing? So sex is a gift from God. God gave us that, but he also gave us boundaries because he wanted it to be a gift and not a curse. My son Tanner was telling me this week, he said, Dad, my favorite gift that you've ever bought me was an electric dirt bike. Michelle and I were talking about it yesterday, and it was just a little, he was so little. So it wasn't special, but it's the best gift he remembers. But when I gave it to him, I said, listen, Tanner, here's your gift, but I don't want you riding it at night after dark, and I don't want you driving it down the mountain, because you will die. And I'm sure after he drove it for a while, I was like, I bet it's even more fun after it's dark. I bet if I take it down the mountain, it'd be even more fun. Better example of this is one of my other kids, I won't tell you their name, Hunter. When we got Xbox, all of my kids would like it, but Hunter was immediately like into it. He was good at it, just totally into it. Well, we made a rule that, hey, this is a gift, but because that's what happens. A lot of times, Michelle was reminding me this week that a lot of times when you get a gift, you go, man, there should be no parameters, like should be no bounds. It's just a gift, just freely gift, just let me do what I want. But the Bible says, don't move from sin to sin, just thinking that it's that grace will cover you. So I gave them the Xbox, but I said, look, here's a perimeter, only 1 hour a day of screen time. If you want it to be all with Xbox, fine. If you want it to be a TV show, fine. They were into Barney. I remember I love Barney or Barney, whatever, the purple dude. But it was 1 hour, and it was like, come on, we got a lot to do as a family. We're moving on. We got vision. We can't just be like watching TV all day. So we had that. Well, my son Hunter loved it. So what he would do, and he tells people about this now, that at night when we were asleep, he would go in and play Xbox for a couple of extra hours. Okay, we didn't even know about this. But let's look at it. Okay, so now he's having to lie about it. So it was a gift, but crossing the boundaries, now he's having to lie about it. And now he's tired. He's struggling in school because he's not sleeping enough. And then it hinders relationship with other people in the family. This is the reason why we should crave to know what the Lord says, especially around sexual sins, because the Bible says all sins are related to what's happening around you, but a sexual sin, it's right there next to the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is the way it says it. It says all other sins person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Who have you received from God? If you are thankful in this place right now to have the Holy Spirit with you, would you praise his name? Come on, put your hands together, whatever it is. But when you live in habitual lifestyle around sexual activity, the turmoil that's inside, conflicting with the Holy Spirit, it'll be something that you will have to kick the Holy Spirit aside to be able to move forward. And this is where the turmoil really hits. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Can I have an amen? Think about that older couple that I saw parking. I was reading about an older couple who, they went to a wedding and it was very romantic. So when they got back in the truck, even though they were in their 90s, she sat right next to them in the truck. And they were holding hands and it was like special. So when they got home, she sat next to him. She goes, "I remember when you used to look at me and tell me you love me more than life itself." And he looked at her and said, "Baby, I still love you more than life itself." She went, "Whoo." She said, "Yeah, but I remember when you used to put your hand on my face and tell me I was the most beautiful woman in the world." He put his hand on her face. "Baby, you're still the most beautiful woman in the world." She went, "Whoo." She said, "Yeah, but I remember when you used to nibble on my neck and it would send chill bumps up and down my spine." He got up and started walking out. She's like, "I'm so sorry that I embarrassed you." He goes, "No, you didn't embarrass me. I'm going to get my teeth." Dang. Hey, Michelle. Listen, men. When you just want to talk to the men for a second and move on. I didn't know where to put this in my notes, so I'm going to hit it and move on. Men, when you have an early sexual encounter, it's studies show, this is science, not me, that you have multiple imprints, like you almost take photos in your mind. Chicken, 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 you remember it. That's why when you're 40 years old, many years later, this could happen at 15, you're 40 years old, you almost have perfect recall of these things. This is basically what David did. He saw Bathsheba, and he tried to move away from it, but he had these imprints, and he'd go get her. I remember the first time I ever saw pornography, I was playing golf, hit the golf ball on the left side of number 18, went into the woods to find my golf ball, and there was a Playboy magazine there. I'd never seen anything like that. I'm like 15 years old, 13 years old, and I opened the magazine. It's like, "What is that?" And I remember grabbing my golf ball and running out of the woods. Didn't tell anybody about it, but the next time I played golf, I didn't intentionally hit it over in the woods, but I walked over there trying to remember the imprints, and you try to bring it back out. Try to remember, what was that all about? A man is not even detail-oriented. I can walk through a house and go, "Michelle, when did we get that picture?" "Rick, we've had it for 30 years. But we can remember that. Scripture says in Philippians, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true," this is telling you how to think. Like, if you want peace in your life, let's just say you're doing life, but something is anxious inside of you. Like, what's going on? "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard," this is the word, like when the word speaks, "whatever you see in the word, and you heard it from me or seen in me, put that into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So I thought it'd be a good idea for us to go through some different stages. Like, if sex is supposed to occur in a marriage, then let's talk just for a second. All the single people will also be able to learn from this. But let's talk about a marriage and how the marriage should be. Number one, a godly marriage needs you to be lovers. Needs you to be lovers. One man was struggling in his marriage and they were arguing. He said, "Well, I'm going to play golf." She goes, "You love golf more than you love me." He said, "Yeah, but I love you more than I love basketball." Okay, that's not going to be a good marriage. Boudreaux was dying. Y'all want to hear about Boudreaux? He was dying, and doctor said, you're not doing good. So he called Marie to his office, and he said, Marie, Boudreaux's not going to make it. But he's got this weird disease that if you are intimate with him 7 straight days, it will heal him, and he will live. Otherwise, he's going to die. She said, are you kidding? He goes, no, he'll live just 7 straight days. So she got back in the truck with Boudreaux, and he said, what did the doctor say? What did the doctor say? Doc say you're going to die. Okay, guys, here, look at me. Guys, I say this with boldness. Even in the 21st century, I say this. Women are complicated. Very complicated. When it comes to intimacy, you may have to cut the grass, do the dishes, clean the kitchen, vacuum the floor, put the kids to bed, don't forget to bathe them, put them to bed, light a candle, play music, and you still may not score. Ladies, for the man, you just need to show up. You just show up. Show up. Thinking about romance, Song of Solomon 4:10. How delightful is your love, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine. And the look at this brother laying it out. And the fragrance of your perfume than any spice, including Tony Sassery. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. This dude is coaching you, brothers. But he also gets into where he says, and your hair is like a flock of goats. See, you can't learn from every brother. He said, your teeth look like sheep. Okay, here's the deal. A lot of men have lost their ability to love the girl. Love the girl. Pornography makes you self-centered. You become a narcissist. It's all about you. But remember, it's about pleasing the girl, being there for the girl, waking her up in the middle of the night saying, you awake? That is not romance. Help me out, will you? that's not gonna work. All right, we having fun at church? Bible talks about, verse 7, your stature is like that of a palm, and your breasts like clusters of fruit. And I said, I will climb the palm tree, but not in a hurry. It's not 2 minutes. I will take hold of its fruit. This is all scripture, guys. We don't climb the palm tree slowly. We prefer coming in like from a cherry picker to grab the coconuts way too fast. Number 2, a godly marriage can't live with constant rejection. Look at me. Rejection is painful, and in a marriage, it's a dangerous place. One guy was worried about his spouse, so he couldn't figure out when she was in a mood or which mood she was in, so he bought her a mood ring. Bad idea. Somehow she put it on, and he would study that. So when she was in a good mood, it would turn green. When she was sad, it would turn blue. And she was angry, it would leave a big red mark on the side of his face. Song of Solomon, talking about rejection. Song of Solomon, I belong to my lover, and his desire is for me. Come, my lover, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Ladies, I just want to warn you, don't get so involved in being mommies that you forget about your husband. Well, I just try and take care of little Timmy. I'll tell you what little Timmy needs. He needs God in that home. And studies show that if you reject your husband 3 or 4 times straight, that they can't take it and they put up a wall. You ever notice the wall between where you are and where he is? These walls are real. And if you look at the basic needs of a man and a woman, a lot of times they're different. A basic need of a woman is communication. Number 1, And then I think it's rest. I did this study. Rest and then food. Sex is down the list. Basic need of a man is sex first. Communication is way down the list. And I know sometimes these roles are flipped. Some men love to talk. Some ladies, their intimacy is their number one need. I think it's fair to say, men, if your wife, her number one need is intimacy, we hate you. Let's just clear that up right now. Now, number three, a godly marriage needs faithful wisdom. Everybody say faithful.
Faithful.
All right, Song of Solomon. I double dog dare you to go home and read this. Not teenagers, you married people, go home and read this book. Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 3 says, I am my lover's, and my lover is mine. I think it's very important you understand that faithfulness is a major goal, and it also means you're going to have to control where your eyes look. Job said it this way. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. A covenant with your eyes. Like where Billy Graham said it this way, you can't control where you look once, but you look away. What you can control is not looking back. It's looking back. I was teaching our teenage boys when I was youth pastor this principle. Don't look back. You look once, look away. Don't. It's a second look. And one teenage boy thought he found a loophole in it. He said, what if I look once and never look away? That's not it either. Listen. Some of you, where you look, it's now become a secret. And secrets get stronger and stronger when they remain a secret. Bring it out in the open. Talk to someone. Matthew, Jesus said, the eye is a lamp to the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. What you look at matters. I just want to challenge you. 70% of the people in this city, men and women, the stats are a little different, but ladies are looking at pornography a lot more now. 70% of the people in this city have viewed porn this week. Question, how much did that help your marriage? 60% of websites are related to the porn industry somehow. 70% of all porn that is watched is during work hours. The average boy is introduced to porn at 5 years of age, and the average girl, I think, is not far behind that. By the way, if you've gotten addicted to this, we have ministries at New Life Church. We will pray, like, you don't have to do this alone. Can I have an amen? 20% of Americans have had sex with a coworker right now. It starts with the eye gate. It's first a look. And then it's a thought, and then it's a word, and then it's touch, and then it's over. What we look at matters. 25% of all Americans are living with an incurable STD right now. 2/3 of all college students have friends with benefits, or they're swiping right. Porn industry is now $57 billion in revenue, larger than football, basketball, and baseball combined. There's something pulling people over there. It's loud. It has a voice 24 hours a day. I highly recommend these codes that I've adopted into my life that helped me so far. I'm not pushing this on anyone, but I highly recommend that you're not in a room alone with someone of the opposite sex. When I first moved here, I was shocked. I would even find people running pair ministries and pastors sometimes just alone with other women. Women with men. I'm never alone with another woman. If I'm meeting with a girl, we have staff, women who run huge departments in our church who are ladies. And I like that, but I have to meet with them. So I do, but I leave the door open. If someone accidentally closes the door when I don't know about it, we have windows on the door. Why am I doing that? Because I just think wisdom has a lot to do with the way that we live. If I text another woman, I always include Michelle in the text or talk about Michelle. Michelle's name is going to be mentioned in that text. I don't get into cars with women alone. Never. One time I was driving by a lady and her car broke down. I was not even far from home. or where she even lived. And it was pouring down rain, and she needed help. So I rolled down the window. She goes, "Get me a ride. I can't fix this." And I realized, man, this is... So I let her take my car, and I stayed there. I'm certainly not bragging about my life. It's just because I don't believe there's something incredible about a man or a woman who has eyes for their spouse only. I've never even had a woman flirt with me in the 30 years of being married. And I'm not asking for it now. But I think it's because I'm always talking about Michelle. By the way, also have my location shared with Michelle. Michelle knows where I am. She's always on that thing. And my kids even share location with one another. And I just think it's wise. She has all my passwords to my phones and computer. And if you're dating someone and you're single, I recommend don't. Even my kids, when they were engaged, don't be alone in a house, in a room somewhere. Even if you plan on marrying them, if you want to do this right, be wise. I even have people say, "Yeah, we're living together, but we're just doing it right." I'm not judging them when they say it, but I know I'm judging me. I could have never lived with Michelle more than about 15 minutes without losing my goals. My goals would have shifted. That's what would happen. So always brag about yourself, your spouse. Every time you have a chance. When you travel, take extra precaution. If you're traveling and you can't take someone with you, then what I do is if I either take someone with me, it's usually Michelle now almost all the time. But if she's not with me, I have a pastor pick me up at the airport. Just watch where you are. And if possible, have a filter on your computer. We don't have one that's working right now, but we have one. We're sharing, like where I look on the computer, she gets copies of that. And where she is, I get copies of it. But we recently found out that it's just not working well because it's no longer reporting to us. If you have any suggestions on a good filter for a computer or a phone, I would like to know about it. Because living for God is worth it. So I've made some decisions on the reason why I want to do this right and finish strong. Because I love Jesus. Do you? I think you do. And I love my wife. I love my kids. And I love this church. And I love living with a clean heart. So the scripture says premarital sex grieves God. It always has and it always will. Adultery grieves God. It always has and always will. Pornography grieves the Lord. Always has and always will. Sex outside of a biblical marriage, it's always grieved God and always will. So why do we try to change the rules? Because sometimes it's pride that leads us to our downfall, and we think we know better. And there even comes times where we think God doesn't really love us or love these ideas as much as we do. But you got to remember, He gave His one and only Son. That's more than you concocting some idea. So let's go to the Word and give it more respect than we ever have. Because I think living for God is worthy. And if you think He is worthy to be praised, then praise His holy name right now in this place. He is worthy to be praised. Look at me. If you don't agree with everything I said in this room, you're welcome in this church for the rest of your life. But I do want to let you know to go back to the scripture and read it again, and then get on your knees and say, "Lord, please guide me in my life." It's a great way to live. Let's bow our heads, no one looking around.